13 minutes after 11, a beautiful mashallah Tuesday morning, the bliss of marriage, part one. I see my engineer, he's full of energy early this Tuesday morning. He's smiling and he says he loves the listeners of Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jamaah. And he knows exactly who I'm speaking about, mashallah, brother Tobella, my engineer. Let's welcome the listeners, of course, of Sirius FM. Haji Faisal Asmal, I know he's tuning and listening, he's smiling, and his beloved son, Haji Yusuf Asmal and company. Let's welcome the listeners of Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. Well, today is the 13th of Dhul Qa'dah 1440. Yes, today is the 13th of Dhul Qa'dah 1440, which is also the 16th of July 2019. We're going to cross over to our beloved Fadilatul Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim, who's standing in for our beloved senior Ustad Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafizahullah, who is in Madinatul Munawwara at the moment. I spoke earlier on, of course, to my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim. He's in a good mood. I don't know. He's firing from all cylinders. He says, Maulana, just shoot the arrow and we will see if that arrow will come down or not. Let's go to Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim Ustad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana. Nice to speak to you on this Tuesday morning.
Ameen, ameen, ameen.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and our listeners ajri azim.
Ameen.
And all those who are listening. And the maqsad of advice and nasiha is to become closer to Allah. And inshallah, to fulfill each other's rights as Allah wants us to do. And, you know, one of the greatest sunnats of Rasulullah is to put a smile on your face and to put a smile on the face of a Muslim brother and sister. Mm. One. Number two, one of the adabs of deen and sharia is that if you love somebody, express your love to them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you love your Muslim brother, tell it to him, a brother to brother, that I love you for the sake of Allah. A Muslim sister to a Muslim sister, that I love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, two things. If we are going to promote in our families, in our working place, then Allah will bring great muhabbat and love. One is, bring a beautiful smile on your face. Number two, learn to make salam to each other and learn to express love for each other for the pleasure of Allah. That's the key, Mulana. All the questions you're going to ask me will revolve around these three sentences that I made. You know, as somebody said it very nicely, Mulana, divorce is okay. Before I get there, somebody said, you know, the marriage is grand. We have a grand wedding, Mulana. And divorce is 100 grand.
Subhanallah.
Because it's going to cost you money to go to court, engage lawyers. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that woman who demands her talaq from her husband without a valid reason, she will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. So in this modern world that we live, lots of times we get the wrong advice. Divorce him. File for divorce. Go to court. Because obviously your husband is rich. You married in community of property, so you can demand half of his total estate and his assets. And what you got to lose? The lawyer takes his fees and you take the next fees and the balance of it and fly up to Dubai or Turkey. So divorce is somebody saying this very nicely. Okay, divorce is okay. Break up is okay. Starting all over again is okay. Moving on is okay. Being alone is okay. But what is not okay is staying somewhere where you are not valued and appreciated. Not accepted, Mana. So we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all our marriages throughout the world, Allah must keep the marriages intact, because marriage is a universal happiness. it's not only bringing happiness to the family that's getting involved in relationship. It's for the entire ummah. Because Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I'm just giving you the introduction, Mulana.
Ji, Ustaz Ji.
What is the purpose of marriage, Mulana? Is it about sex? Is it about fun? Is it about holidays? Is it about jewelry? Is it about luxuries? What is it? Let's understand this first and foremost. Okay, why did Allah Ta'ala make this beautiful sunnat? See, such a beautiful sunnat for the makhluk and for the creation, and especially for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the previous ummahs also. Four things are the sunnat of anbiya's and nikah. One of the things Allah made marriage in every community, in every nabi of Allah in that zamana, they was married. So what's the purpose of marriage? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tazawwajul wadud. Marry a woman that will have lots of love and muhabbat in her. Number two, al-walud. Marry a woman that will give birth to many a child, so that on the day of Qiyamah, I can be proud in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, Allah, I have the largest reciters of La ilaha illallah. My ummah is so vast and so great and so huge. Wallah, they all have recited La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul. So procreation. The maqsad of marriage, one is procreation. And the second important point, it is love, kindness and caring. If we understand just the basics of nikah and the basics of marriage, Mulana, we don't really have an issue. It's about ego, and it's about, you know, pride, and sometimes greed. So may Allah Ta'ala grant all our marriages success. Allah grant us pious children. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala make our children the coolness of our eyes. Allah Pak make our wives the coolness of our eyes. See, Mulana, this being the introduction, inshallah, you have your question.
Subhanallah. Ustaz, before we begin, of course, with the questions, I think you said in your introduction there's a sister who just messaged now, and I don't see anything wrong that you said, Ustaz, but the sister says that you mentioned in your introduction that woman who requests her divorce for no valid reason. There's no fragrance of Jannah. Am I right to start? That's what
Naam.
So the sister says here, and what about that woman who has a valid reason, Molana Salim? She's been beaten left, right, and center, but the husband don't want to release her. So now talk, Molana Salim. You tell me no
problem.
Ustad, it says here, you tell me no Jannah for my daughter, Molana Salim? I curse my son-in-law. My daughter, only 20 years old, a beautiful rose, Ustad. Before we begin the program, inshallah, I leave it to you.
Mashallah, Mashallah, I can understand the frustration and the anger, but I think the sister needs to also understand that I haven't completed what I said.
Indeed, Ustad.
Many times, a marriage has got so much of abusiveness in it, so much of hardship, so much of use and abuse, that there is no room for any happiness and continuation of the nikah. Then Shariat has given the right to the wife to say, we are not compatible anymore. You are an absolute abuser. You are not fulfilling my rights. You are hitting me. You're abusing me. Financially, you're not caring for me. Sexually, you are abusing me. Emotionally, you are abusing me. Mentally, you are abusing me. This is toxic relationship. Then Shariat has given her two options. Number one, she asks for her talaq. In this way, she is justified. She can go to the Jamiat and ask for an annulment. And these are some of the pertinent points the ulama that are sitting on that panel is going to ask you as a wife. What are the allegations or complaints that you have against your husband? If there is physical abuse, if there's financial abuse, if there's emotional abuse, there's violence, there's drugs, womanizing, they will look at it very positively and they will ask the husband, give him a fair chance to respond. And if he doesn't respond the first time, they write the second letter to him If he still doesn't respond, the third time they will call the sister in, and the ulama will decide on merit in terms of Sharia. They have a set criteria. Okay, what are the legitimate complaints of a woman, and they will annul the marriage.
That's one.
Number two is what we call khula. The husband doesn't want to give the talaq. He said, I'll fix you up. I'll make you hang.
Yes.
No man will marry you again. First of all, you have no rights to own. You don't own your wife. Your wife is not your slave. She's somebody's daughter. She's a guest in your house. So Sharia has given her the second option, that the mahar that he had given to her on the day of the wedding, she would give it back to him in lieu of that mahar. He should give her a talaq and set them free. Yet to the men are horrible. See, they will not do that. They will make her sing. They will make her cry. So, in terms of Sharia, she has the right to go to the ulama and get her marriage dissolved. So, if there's valid grounds and she asks for a talaq in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she will not be punished. In fact, she will be rewarded, because there will be no zulm after that. There will be no guna after that. But obviously, the most important thing, know your rights and their rights. You want a good relationship in marriage, know your own rights and their rights.
Ustad,
you should know your rights as a wife, and the husband should know his rights as his wife.
Ustad, let's open the files. I mean, you and Alim, I'm in Alim as well. You know, I feel, I don't know, that this is my opinion, Ustad, because I see there's a message coming here from Mayfair West as well. I feel that we as... I won't say all the ulamas, Ustad, because some of them, they not, I don't know if Ustad understand, they not prepared to help the sister out. The sister says, yeah, I'm an alima, I'm a student of deen, I'm from Mayfair West, I'm a teacher as well. But the ulama, they're not playing their part. You know, when the woman folks, they go there and they want out, and you can see she's being beaten left, right, and center, Ustad. And I don't know, Ustad, I don't know. Maybe we are afraid of, Ustad.
Well, now, just to be fair to the Jamiat and organizations that deal with Fasakh, mashallah, they try their level best, inshallah, to assist in the annulment of the marriage. Because in South Africa, at the moment, our Islamic marriages are not recognized. It's still in the process, and there's lots of discussion that it has to go to parliament. It has to be passed, a law has to be passed, and so many things has to happen. So that's where the zulm is taking place on women, Mulana. Alhamdulillah, you know, in India and Pakistan, you have the Muslim personal law, where the Qazi sits and he makes the decision. I was in Bihar, Molana. I sat in a marriage, what we call a divorce settlement, in one of the courts, say, in Bihar. Molana, it's done so professionally, so perfectly. The women don't have to suffer there, Molana. They come with their complaint, it is investigated, and the Qazi, who is appointed as a judge, makes the decision. It's final, and nobody can come back and say, I don't accept the decision. Unfortunately, we are in a situation in South Africa, we don't have that power, Mulana. This is where the hardship is not only, because you can't just blame the ulama left, right, and center and say they're doing nothing, Mulana. The ulama are restricted. Because, say, for example, if that marriage is registered, that wife can go, or that husband can go to the court and get release. He can go and ask for help and assistance. And as I said to you all yesterday, I think, I was called to court the day before yesterday. There was a brother who got married to a girl that's 15 years old, and the police said, no, we are charging you for statutory rape, because according to South African law, you must be 18 years old, otherwise you cannot have sexual relationship with a female. You will be charged for rape. So I explained to him, what's the Islamic perspective? You have to be aqil, baligh, free, consent of the parents, the nikah is done properly, alhamdulillah, we are allowed to consummate the marriage. It's not regarded as rape. So the judge said to me, Mulana, what are you saying? If the law of the land is in conflict of the Quran, are you saying that you're going to give the Quran precedent? I said, yes. The Quran will take precedent over the law of the country. Because this is Muslim personal law. This is not about all the other matters of politics in this country. This is about personal matters as far as marriage, divorce is concerned in Islam. And Islam has a set rule how marriages should be conducted, how divorces should be conducted, how maintenance should be conducted. We have a set of rules. So he said to me, well, I don't understand you, but if you are saying that, well, that's your opinion. But the law of the country will stand, he said to me. I said to him, sir, I don't want to debate this.
Indeed.
Because at this moment, the Muslim personal law is lying with Parliament. And when that is formulated and accepted, then we will discuss it. But for information purposes, if you're asking me as an alim and as a priest, who takes precedence, the Quran and Hadith or the law of the country? So I said the Quran and Hadith will take precedence in the Muslim community.
Allahu Akbar.
So coming back to the question of the sister, yes, some of the ulama Maulana are not trained.
Yes, Ustad, yes.
This is the problem, you see. I've done an alim course, I have done, mashallah, hadith courses, alhamdulillah. Maulana, social work, interaction, public relations, I always remember the words of Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak, rahmatullah alayh. I accompanied him for 20 years, Maulana, from 1983 to Maulana passed away in 2005 or 2004. See, Maulana used to say to the principals of the Darul Uloom that when your students qualify, send them for 1 year public relationship courses. How to deal with public, how to deal with the Muslim community. If somebody comes with a drug problem, how do you attend to it? A woman comes with a problem of divorce, how do you attend to it? So, Maulana, you can't just brush all the alims with the same brush. It's not fair to say that. Yes, there are certain ulama who are trained, alhamdulillah, identify them, go to them and present your case. It is not everybody's job or everybody's cup of tea to do social work.
Allahu Akbar. Well, it's exactly 11:30. I see the messages are rolling in. Subhanallah. So, you know, listeners, let me just tell the listeners quickly something. Myself and Maulana Salim Karim, we didn't prepare for the for the program. And we just came in. And I'm telling Maulana Salim, I said, Ustad, I've got about two questions. One is, a sister says that why there's racism in Islam when it comes to marriage, especially when it comes to our parents, you know? And I see now all the messages are coming in. Somebody says, Maulana, my daughter also is being ill-treated, but the ulama say, have sabr, try and make the marriage out. And it's already 3.5 years. My daughter has lost weight. She's going mentally crazy. Now, you see, this one I'm trying to tell Ustad, you know? And this one says, Maulana Salim Karim, physically abused, emotionally abused, mentally abused. What do we do? What do we do? Why can't we have like a woman's right in Islam? This is a sister, anonymous sister from Durban, saying to Maulana Salim Karim, Ustad.
Alhamdulillah, Maulana. Allah Ta'ala, if any religion in the world that has given rights to women and championed the rights of women, it was Islam,
Allah,
and the deen and shariat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. The weakness is us. That we are selective. If I know Maulana, I know that family, I'll go out and help the family.
Yes.
Maulana, this is bottom line. I'm talking. Somebody may not agree with me. Some ulama may not agree with us, Maulana. But it's, we look at faces sometimes. See? Whereas we're supposed to be fair and treat everybody equal as an alim. If you come to the Jamiat office, or you come to my office, you come to your office, Maulana, everybody must be treated equally. So the sister is quite right in saying that, you know, my child is suffering. Now, I think the parents also need to come in here. We need to put more pressure on the ulama also.
Agree with that. I agree with you.
To work this case up, maybe get a team of lawyers together, you know, in terms of South African law, and if we can gel Shariat with it, inshallah, to help these sisters. Well, no, we should have a forum, actually. We're having so many conferences about this, about charity, about this, alhamdulillah. But what is cancerous in the ummah, we're not attending to that, Maulana. And women are crying out there, Maulana. They are really suffering in silence. And sometimes the bad du'as that come out, you know, that musalla that they wet with their tears, Maulana, Allah knows best what's going to happen. So, you know, it's a team effort, Maulana. We need the ulama to come in here. We need the lawyers to come in here. We need the justice system. I'm sure we have lots of Muslim magistrates. We have lots of Muslim judges. So we have wonderful Muslim sisters and men who work for Islamic K-Line. Why can't we just all sit together and look for a uniform?
So why don't...
Inshallah,
Why don't we do that to start? Why don't we do that to start? I mean, you can see the complaints. We're not doing anything about it, Ustad.
Mawlana, we need a team leader, inshallah, to lead this. Okay, inshallah, maybe the ulama who are listening out there, or organizations that are listening out there, we are part and parcel of it, me and you, Mawlana.
Indeed, Ustad.
We are first on that list to help. But we need someone to drive this, Mawlana. We need, in every province, we need a team of ulama, a team of lawyers, a team of doctors, a team of psychologists, inshallah, to sit and help the genuine cases where our sisters and daughters and wives and mothers are all suffering, Mawlana. That home is like Jahannam. It's just sadness and sadness in that home, Mawlana. And as the mother said, my daughter is withering away. Don't we have, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if your Muslim brother is hurt in one part of the world, the entire Muslim Ummah should feel the pain. But because it doesn't concern me, Mawlana, it doesn't bother me. Everything is hunky-dory for me. So why should I worry about the next Muslim brother and sister? This is a wrong perception, Mawlana. Their pain should be our pain also. Their happiness should be our happiness. This is what Islam teaches us. Again, we go back to principles, Mawlana. The day you go for proposal, Mawlana, I'm begging our parents, please go with a fine comb. Find out every detail. You may think that it is spying. It's not spying. You and I need to be 100% sure that who I'm giving my daughter to, or who's coming as my son-in-law, or who this daughter-in-law that's coming to our home, she does not have some irregularities that's going to really disrupt and break this family up. Compatibility. As you asked me the other question, Mawlana, why are our parents so racist?
Yes, Ustad.
If I'm a Gujarati girl, you can't get married to a Meman boy or an Urdu-speaking boy. See? Or you can't get married to a black Muslim who has accepted Islam. Just now, Mawlana, you spoke to a sister. She says, Mawlana, I reverted to Islam. She's a white lady, 3 children. She's Pabandu Deen. She just sat now and spoke to me. And you spoke to her right now, 5-10 minutes ago, Mawlana.
Gee, Ustad.
She says, Mawlana, I'm treated so badly when I go to the officers for assistance or help or advice because my husband is involved with another woman. Gee, he's womanizing, he's drinking, he's on drugs. Nobody wants to help me. They ask me 110 questions. So why do we differentiate? Good question. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's biggest challenge and the message of Islam on the plains of Arafat was what? La fadla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin. Wa la ajamiyyin ala arabiyyin. No Arab has superiority over a non-Arab. And no non-Arab has superiority over an Arab. No black has superiority over a white. And no white has superiority over a black. We all are Muslim. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. In the eyes of Allah, the most pious, the most accepted, the most honorable is the one who has the beautiful concept of deen and taqwa. We are, as they say, you know, is ghar ko aag lag gayi, isi ghar ki chiraag se. This house has caught on fire with the very flames of this house. We don't have to go and blame outsiders. We don't have to blame the Western society, Mawlana. We have failed ourselves in learning what Shariat wants from us. Hukukullah, hukukul ibad. So we need to do homework ourselves. We need to sort our house first, Mawlana. Our personal home sorted out first before we can go out there and assist. Really, all of us. It's not only the ulama you're gonna point fingers at. We all, as parents, society, ustads, and all the professionals put together to work with one united force, inshallah. Not only, Mawlana, husbands are also being abused. As much as the women are being abused, Mawlana, men are being abused. Mentally abused. And in one case, sexually abused, Mawlana. You may say, but Mawlana, how can this happen?
You know, we're just going to touch on that. That we spoke to that sister earlier on, Ustad, and this Thursday night, our topic, I was going to make mashwara, which was going to be fight against rape. But unfortunately, of course, my guest, our panelist, it's a white guy, of course. He hasn't come back to me as yet. So we're not going to do the topic this Thursday. But that was my topic, our next topic, fight against rape. Where there are many, many Muslim sisters out there, Ustad, who are being even, I don't know, Ustad, is there such a thing as rape in a marriage? Maybe Ustad can guide me. Now, Ustad, you need to listen to this message that came in here. Maulana Salim Karim, I'm from Harare. I married a man from Johannesburg. I was married for 6 years with him. He beat me up until I lost my child when I was 7.5 months. We went to the Jamiat. They did nothing about it because he was well known. There we go, Ustad. And today, Maulana Salim, I'm living in Harare. It's 19 years we separated. And he said he's not going to release me. So I decided to carry on with my life like this. He has married again, Maulana Salim Karim. He has children who are grown up. He has 3 children, but my life is still like this. Allah knows best. My sisters out there, learn to speak out. Allah is with you. Come on, Maulana Salim. Come on, Ustad. Then why, Ustad, then you don't want me to get upset. Come on, Ustad. Come on. I mean, if that's Maulana, your... Gee, Ustad.
Maulana, this is what I'm saying. No. This is the hadith of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, az-zulmu zulumat yawm al-qiyamah. The oppressor will see his light on the day of Qiyamah, his punishment and his azab for what he's doing. That being the hadith of Rasulullah, az-zulmu zulumat yawm al-qiyamah. But Maulana, this man, whoever he is, should be identified.
Yes, Ustad.
And again, the ulama of Harare or whoever they are there, Maulana, the jamiat over there, if they fail the system, we don't have the facts and figures, so Maulana, it will be unfair for you and me to pass any judgment. Okay? Because you and I don't have the facts and figures,
100%,
right?
Ustad.
But we can understand the pain of the sister and what she is saying. So maybe we need to reopen that case. As mashallah, in our country, mashallah, all the cases are getting opened up, Maulana.
Very true, Ustad. Very true.
Yeah. Let's investigate it, inshallah, and let justice prevail. So I think maybe the sister should revisit, mashallah, some ulama should approach that husband and say, you have married, you have moved on, you have enjoyed, you have deprived a young lady from getting married and making her own home. What answer are you going to give to Allah? So, Maulana, as I say, some men are really monsters. I'm sorry to say that. They have no... And if you find the reason for this, Maulana, is the background where they come from. Wallahi, the children will always follow their parents, will always imitate their parents. And if there is violence in that home, there's abuse in that home, that young son is growing up, he knows nothing better, Maulana. Because he sees what his father is doing to his mother. And nobody can say a word. So what do you expect of that young man? He's going to do the same thing. So I really sympathize with the sister. I still feel that the ulama should somewhat... of Harare, wherever they are, approach the husband and say, at least set her free. Maybe she can get married again and settle her life, inshallah. And to boot her and make her lose her child. You just asked me a question early on. No. In Sharia, is there anything? Can a husband rape his wife? Allahu Akbar. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Do not hit your wife. Do not physically abuse your wife. Do not swear your wife. These are talims of Rasulullah, hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sunnah Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not hit your wife like an animal. And then at night, you want to share the bed with her. Maulana, when you are crying and broken inside, do you think your body is going to function sexually? Will your mind, your body synchronize? Definitely not, Maulana. When you are in pain, you are bleeding. You are blue and black from top to bottom, kicking and booting. That must be a real idiot, that man. Really. He's a weakling, Maulana. Really, we can use the word, he's a sissy. Take your size. I always say to the men who hit their wives, take your size. No use hitting a chicken. Take a lion and see what happens to you. So this is my advice. So coming back to that hadith, Mawlana, you asked a question. Can a husband rape his wife? Allahu Akbar. Mawlana, love and muhabbat and conjugal rights is such personal. And what a big ni'mat from Allah. It requires two people to be happy mentally, emotionally, the chemistry, the environment, all that builds up to have a beautiful climax in the end, Mawlana. You can't be angry on one side, your wife is crying on one side, and you're going to force her to have sexual relationship with you. Mawlana, this is not insaniyat. This is not shariat.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Yes. Conjugal right is the right of a husband also, and likewise, a woman can demand her conjugal rights also. She has an equal right that you can't leave your wife. I think during the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, I stand for correction. There was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala is making gush at night. And he hears a lady, she's singing some love songs. She's missing her husband. He's gone in jihad. So she's singing some love songs, Mawlana. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala marked that door. Because it's night and he doesn't know whose house it is. In the morning, he sent somebody to please go to that house and call the people of that house. And I can imagine when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala Jalal, who won't shake? So that mother and daughter were shaking. They came to the court of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, I heard what you were saying last night. Who are you singing the song for? Who are you saying this poetry for? He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, my husband is gone for jihad. He's almost 4 months now, 6 months. I'm missing my husband. 6 months and more, he's gone. I love him. I'm missing my husband. So I'm just trying to pacify myself. And I was saying these words and I was singing this just to calm myself down. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala immediately sent a messenger to the house to ask the wife, okay, how much of time do you think that a woman can stay away from a man? That's the manner of piety and taqwa. So the jawab and answer came from the wife of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and the females, that in that zamana it was like 4 months, you can make sabr, inshallah. Immediately Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote a directive to all the army generals, that those Sahaba-i-Kiram who are more than 4 months out of their house, send them back. That's how Islam safeguards the rights of women, Mawlana. But in today's zamana, you can't take 4 months, Mawlana, a person who pagal ho jayega. They go mad. There's so much of attraction, there's so much of vice, so much of nudity, so much of haram activities. The biggest haram activator is your phone. So ulama-i-kiram said, in this zamana, how often should you engage with sexual relationship with your wife? Ulama-i-kiram said, at least thrice a week. Twice a week, alhamdulillah. Once a week. It depends on your youth, your energy and your strength and your mind. The biggest thing, save yourself from guna. So a wife or a husband should never, ever forcefully have sexual relationship with his wife. Then you're a zalim, you're an oppressor. It's a big question now. Can't you go and charge him in the court? No, you shouldn't do that. So he needs to go for counseling. He needs help.
14 minutes to 12. Ustad, I'm actually speechless. Allah save us. Allah save the ummah, Ustad. You know, there's a sister says, Mawlana Salim Karim, we love you only solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we wish we could get more ulama like you and Mawlana Hatia. Ustad, I mean, Ustad, there's a sister saying here from Cape Town, Mawlana Salim, you mentioned that why there is racism in Islam when it comes to marriage, especially when it comes to our parents. So the sister says, but the Indian boys, they want to date our Malay girls, but when it comes to marriage, their parents don't want. Is this true, Ustad?
See, Mawlana, this is not only from now, Mawlana, this is from them days.
Astaghfirullah.
You know, because we look down upon people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the apartheid era, Mawlana, this I also want to raise this issue one day with you, Mawlana. We're going to talk about it. And so many of the Muslim men who have fathered children out of marriage. In the party days, it was the indigenous sisters that were working in our shops, in our homes, in whichever capacity. And in that zamana, some of us committed zina, and there were children born out of that wedlock. I'm not talking wedlock, out of wedlock. See? And those children are walking aimlessly. They're looking for recognition. They are considered as waladu zina. See? Illegitimate children. Any child that is born out of marriage, before you make nikah, if you fall pregnant, see, in terms of Sharia, many times it happens. That is why Sharia said, make a proposal and make the nikah immediately. We want to make the engagement and we want to wait for 1 year because we're waiting for the NMJ hall, we're waiting for so-and-so to come, we're waiting for that cook to come, we're waiting for that auntie to come. And in the meantime, zina is taking place. We bluff our parents, we're taking a ride to Milky Lane. We're going to Fodsworth Plaza. That is why Sharia said, after proposal is nikah. There is no engagement also in Sharia. You accept as parents and make the nikah as quick as possible. And this is the truth, Mulana, that we look down upon other communities. If I am not Urdu speaking, I am not Gujarati speaking, I am not Meman speaking, then we are not equal in terms of Sharia. We created apartheid, Mulana, we. This is what Rasulullah fought for. See? When it came to the... I gave you this waqiyah, Mulana. Hadrat Junaid radiyallahu ta'ala was a black sahabi.
Yes, Ustad.
And I'm going to repeat it again. Black sahabi, thick lips, dark in complexion, not very beautiful, not very handsome. Rasulullah asked him, Ya Julaibib, why don't you get married? He said, Ya Rasulullah, who's going to marry me? Look at me. Look at my color. Look at my complexion. Look at my feature. Gee, I'm a black Abyssinian. These are thoroughbred Arabs. Who's going to give me their daughter? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed him, you go to that house and tell them, I sent you for a proposal for their daughter. Hazrat Junaybib radiyallahu ta'ala goes there, knocks at the door and conveys the salam of Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked me to come and ask your daughter in marriage. Can you imagine the initial shock to the parents? So the father said, hold on, let me go and ask inside. He goes. Can you imagine the mother's reaction? The father's reaction was that. And they somewhat turned him down. Hazrat Junaybib radiallahu ta'ala is in tears. Because he said, Rasulullah, who are you going to give me a daughter? Look at me.
Ya Allah.
But the daughter heard the conversation of the father and mother to Hazrat Junaybib. As he was leaving, she said to her parents, hold on, call the Sahabi back. I have got no problem, inshallah, I want to marry him. Because I only want to ask you all one question. Who sent Hazrat Julaybib to ask my hand in marriage? That's
Allahu
all I want.
Akbar.
My father and my mother, please, just answer one question. Who sent him? Did he come here on his own? So they said, no, Huzuri Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent. She said, Alhamdulillah, if my Habib, my Rasul Muhammadur Rasulullah has sent him, he will always send somebody who is best for me.
Allah.
So I have no problem, inshaAllah, I will accept the proposal. Because the quality of Iman is not the color of the skin, Mulana.
Haq, Ustad, haq.
I can be fair in complexion, I've got a dirty heart.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah is inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum. Allah is not looking at how handsome you are. Wala ila amwalikum. Allah is not looking how rich you are. Wala ki yanzuru ila niyatikum. Allah is looking at your intention. So, Mawlana, this is going to, I don't know what answer we're going to give to Allah Rabbul Alam. Sometime days, the girl wants to get married, Mawlana, she loves the person. Because she got information, he's pious, but because maybe he's Gujarati speaking, he's Meman speaking, Urdu speaking, gee, the parents say no. He must be our type. It's our type, inshallah, the price you and I are going to pay. Because Rasulullah sounded a warning. When somebody comes to your door who's got taqwa, he's got deen, and he's got akhlaq, and you turn that proposal down, takun fitnatun wa fasadun arid, you are opening the doors of great fitna and destruction. There are so many sisters who are sitting there heartbroken because who they wanted to marry, the parents told them no.
Yes, Ustad.
Over my dead body, you will marry that boy. They got her married to somebody else. Oh no, she's still crying for the first man. She's still crying for the person that came with the first proposal. Her mind is still set there. She hasn't connected with her new husband. That is, she's married. Look at the guna, look at the sin that we are doing, the zulm that we are doing. Why do we play with emotions of people? Is it not happening, Molana, in our society? I can tell you, I can count a few and tell you, Molana, their hearts are broken.
It's happening, Ustad.
They never married, Molana. They never married. They said, Molana, I wanted to marry that person. My parents refused. I refused to get married to anybody. Though their logic is not correct. Life has to carry on. The sunnah of Rasulullah has to make ada. It's just not only about love. See, Molana. So this will prevail, Molana, until we don't humble ourselves, that as long as the person who's coming to my door has got iman and akhlaq.
So, yes? Ustad, we've got about 6 minutes left. What's the way forward? I see all the sisters are pouring their hearts out this morning, and everyone's saying, Molana, such an interesting topic. Hope our husbands, they could be listening to this program. I know they all are going to work. Somebody says, Molana Salim Karim, I'm from South Africa. My husband is fair in complexion. He's handsome, Molana Salim Karim. He's got all the money in the world, but he's a beast. He's got a dirty, filthy heart. If only I tell you, Molana Arafat and Molana Salam Karim, what he did. No, look at that, my beloved Ustad. So Ustad, we can read, somebody saying here, tell Molana Salim Karim, didn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say, don't expose the next person's faults, don't expose him? So we shouldn't expose that, whether it's a Molana or not, whether he's doing wrong. No. You expose him. My beloved Ustad, Hazrat Molana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain says, expose him. There are people out there who are doing halala, who are taking advantage of the woman folk out there. And I stand with Molana Salim Karim and my beloved Ustad. Somebody says as well, Molana Salim Karim, they say marriage is like thorns. So did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have thorns in his marriage? Ustad, I read for you 3 questions. One is fair in complexion, he's handsome. One, the other one says, did Nabi Sallam don't expose? G, Ustad.
For the first one, Molana, he's handsome and he's got wealth. That's no criteria of akhlaq. He's minus deen. If he had deen, then alhamdulillah, his wealth and his handsomeness would have been a bonus for his wife and for his children. But he's got no akhlaq and he's got very little deen. That's the problem. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best wealth that you can spend is on your wife and your children. It's an act of charity and it is sila rahmi. Allah is going to give you double reward. A sahabi came to Rasulullah and asked, Ya Rasulullah, if I got 1 dirham, on whom should I spend it? Rasulullah said, spend it on your wife. He comes back and asks the second question, Ya Rasulullah, I have a further 1 dirham, who should I spend it? Spend it on your children. Comes back and says, if I have another dirham, Rasulullah said, spend it on your relatives. He said, I have 1 more dirham, Ya Rasulullah, the mufum of the hadith. And spend it on your khadim. Subhanallah. The point here is that the mujahada that you make, the struggle, the hardship that you go through, just to feed yourself and your family, halal rozi is such a great ibadah. So this is the problem, Molana. We have got our criteria all wrong. We look at money, we look at handsomeness or beautifulness, and there is no deen. Molana, somebody gave a beautiful example, you know. He said, you see in a dump site, Molana, you go away, they throw all the refuse. And you find one beautiful rose that is growing there. Will you pick it up? Will you break that rose? Or will you take that rose and smell it? Nobody will do it. So this beauty and this wealth, Molana, is of no value if you've got no deen and akhlaq. Firaun had, Haman had wealth. Ana rabbukumul a'la. They had everything. They didn't have deen. Number one. Number two, Molana, your question was,
The listener is saying, this is a brother. Didn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, don't expose the next person's faults, don't expose him? So we shouldn't expose the ulama, whether he's doing wrong or even if he's not an alim, whether he's doing wrong or right? No way. No way.
It's not man ra minkum munkiran.
Yes. Yes, Ustad.
I don't know.
It says man ra minkum munkiran. G, Ustad. G. Yeah. G.
Keep pushing all that under the carpet. Keep pushing it. And let the ummah suffer. Where the hadith suits us, alhamdulillah, we will take it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhawna 'anil munkar. Wherever there was a problem amongst the Sahaba ikiram, Rasulullah wouldn't take the name. We're not taking any alim's name here. Rasulullah would say, Ma bala qawmin, what happened to the community?
Yes.
Rasulullah never spoke about a Sahabi, never took his name. Never took anybody's name. But Rasulullah took to the mimbar. So, we are not taking any alim's name here. We are saying, ulama should do their part, alhamdulillah. So, yes, it is sunnah of Rasulullah to hide the fault of your Muslim brother. That is true. But yeah, somebody is making zulm openly.
Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah.
And you're not stopping him. While you ghayyirhu biyadi, you're in the position of power, then stop it.
Yes.
So who's going to stop this? These people who are making zulm on women? Wa illam yastati, and you can't do it with your hands? Fabi nisani, then speak that this is wrong. Be vocal, speak about it. If you can't do that, Fabi qalbi. In your heart, feel bad, man. I can't do anything, but
yes,
it is so wrong for this brother or sister to do this. See. That's the second question. Yes, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith is correct. Alhamdulillah, we should do that. But we don't go openly taking people's names or the family's name or the community's name. No. Ma balakum min kya ho gaya is qaum ko. What happened to this community that they're doing this and this? So we're not exposing the fault here. The names of people here, Moana, it's a general comment.
100%, Ustad. Ustad, we...
Is the cap foot very...
I love you, Ustad, I love you. Ustad, we got a minute left, quickly. Somebody says, marriage is like thorns. Did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have thorns in his marriage, Ustad? Quickly, a minute left for the 12
hours. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved his wife so much.
Allah.
He told to Hadrat Aisha, come, let's have a race. Come. That's the amount of love Rasulullah had. He treated her with such beautiful kindness and love. I want to know that me and you, Mona, you ran with your wife.
No, Ustad, never. Ustad, don't embarrass me.
Okay, Mona, I was an athlete in my day. So, alhamdulillah, I ran. I think the family also were very good athletes in their days. So, they ran. I'm just asking a question to all our listeners here. Sometime just to practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah one day, when you're all alone, let's have a small race. The point what I'm trying to say, that how loving and accommodating Rasulullah was. There was no thorns in Rasulullah's marriage.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
They loved Rasulullah unconditionally. Rasulullah loved them unconditionally. Second question, when last did you wipe the tears of your wife when she's crying and she's in pain?
Ya Allah.
One of the wives of Rasulullah fell off the camel. She was in tears. She was crying. Rasulullah went and put his leg there and said, stand on my leg and jump onto the camel. And she was sobbing. Rasulullah wiped her tears. She sobbed even more. Do we have this gesture in us as men, as husbands? See? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was rahmatul lil alameen.
Allah. Ustad, we have to leave it there.
May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wow. Allah Ta'ala forgive us if we said something wrong.
Ameen.
I think this is a very emotional topic, you know, because families are hurt, people are hurt,
yes,
mothers are crying, fathers are crying, lives are being destroyed, Mulana. And we can't keep quiet about this thing. We have to speak about it. Allah reward you. Allah reward the station and our thinking.
Ameen. Ustad, it's 2 minutes after 12. I have to leave you there, my beloved Ustad, inshallah. Tomorrow, part two, the bliss of marriage, inshallah.
Amin.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Very touching, very, very touching, my beloved, beautiful, warm hearted listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I see Brother Tobela says, Manana, what do you say finish in Zulu, Brother Tobela? Pelile, pelile. We leave you there. We see you tomorrow morning on our program, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. Up next, the 12 o'clock news. What? Brother Alfa Zinkosi.